As a TV critic for the Boston Globe, our guest this hour was hooked on his TV and his computer until Toby, a yellow lab, came into his life. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are going to talk with the author of Off the Leash, A Year at the Dog Park. And we will talk about dog park subculture. That's right. And we will welcome your thoughts, your experiences. Do you hang out at the dog park with your dog? What have you learned from the dog park? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Matthew Gilbert is a TV critic at the Boston Globe and author of Off the Leash, A Year at the Dog Park. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So how did Toby enter your life?
Well, it's a long-ish story because before I even started shopping around to get a dog, I was one of those people who hated dogs.
Really?
Yeah. I was terrified of dogs. I grew up in a home where we never had a dog. My mother was also terrified of dogs. And so I was completely unfamiliar with dogs. And, I mean, I was one of those people who, if I touched a dog or if I touched something that touched a dog, my hand would buzz until I could get to a sink, you know, to wash. So for my first 40 years, I didn't want to have anything to do with dogs. You know, I also was the kind of personality who liked things to be kind of in control. And when you're around a dog, I mean, you know, it's a different situation. Dogs are spontaneous and they're running around, and I just couldn't take it. And then when I turned 40, I fell in love, and I think the idea of falling in love kind of opens you up. Mm-hmm. Not the idea of it, the reality of it. I mean, you suddenly opened up a little bit, and then I fell in love with a dog person who at the time did not have a dog, but every member of his family did. So I was constantly being thrown together with dogs, and it just happened. You know, I said one day I woke up and I thought, I must have a dog. And it was a great moment for many reasons, but also because I was in my 40s, you know, and I think we tend to think, oh, I'm in my 40s. I am who I am. This is it. And, you know, I accept it. So it's always great when you have a sort of significant growth spurt at that age, you know. So that's a long way of...
No, so I'm glad that we talked about it, because that does put it all into perspective. And Toby ended up changing your perspective, too. So it's good to know where you're coming from. But tell us about Toby. Toby's a big, goofy yellow lab.
Exactly. He's 80 pounds of just playfulness. And, I mean, he's 10 now. He just turned 10. But... the book is set during my first year of having Toby and going to the dog park. And so he's just, you know, he's a little mellower now. But when he was a puppy, he was just all about play. I mean, that was, you know, the greatest thing in the world. And I love it because I realize that, you know, they say you get the dog you need, not the dog you want. I mean, it's kind of a cliche, but... it's so true. And in my case, you know, I got a dog who was so playful. And, you know, I can't say that, just sort of organically, I'm the most playful person. So, you know, he sort of pulled me into this world of the dog park because he found so much joy there. I had to keep taking him. And, you know, while he was playing with the dogs, I started having to mix with the owners. And, He's sort of pulled me out of my shell a bit, which I love. I love that. You know, his playfulness was exactly what I needed.
Yeah, and you were, because you were You were just kind of watching a lot of TV, weren't you?
Exactly. I mean, we all watch a lot of TV statistically. But I, you know, I watch sometimes 30 hours of TV a week. And it's great because there's so much good TV on now. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm, it's the best time ever to be a TV critic. So I love it. But, you know, I spend a lot of time in front of the screen. So it's great to have this daily, reason to have to leave all of my screens and go to the park and be in the moment.
And it wasn't just being in the moment or getting away from the TV screen. You found joy in giving Toby joy.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Which I love. I mean, you know, it's we all feel that probably for the people in our lives that we love. You know, when they're experiencing joy, we're happy too. But it's so much easier with a dog.
Well, I talk a little bit about how long it took before you found yourself immersed in that dog park and that routine or that culture. I'll share a brief story that I had a dog named Lady. She recently, this year, in fact, we had to put her down due to illness and old age, and I'll miss her very much. But dear sweet Lady, when we brought her to the dog park more than 12 years ago as an adoptee, she just refused to go in. She wouldn't go into the dog park. She was a little bit of a fraidy cat. She was afraid of linoleum floors and afraid of little boys that were two blocks down the street on the sidewalk. I never really immersed myself in the dog park. And some people do that. Some people might just take their dog for walks rather than go to the dog park. What made you decide I'm going to take Toby to the dog park?
I mean, my husband, Tom, went to the dog park once, and even though Toby loved it, he just thought, I don't want to be here. I'd rather walk the sidewalks. And they have a lovely relationship, Tom and Toby, just kind of meandering around the neighborhood. I just found that I got addicted to the dog park community. And, it isn't for everyone, but, What I came to love about it was first of all, you're getting people of all different ages and all from all different walks of life. So you're mixing up with people you would never probably normally meet. And that is interesting because you find that you do share a lot in common. You know, once you have dogs in common, other things emerge. Maybe they can become really intimate relationships because you're seeing these people sometimes once or twice a day. So I started to really love that. And, they're intimate relationships, but there's also there's a streak of anonymity to them, too, because you know these people at the dog park, but you don't necessarily know where they live or sometimes even what their last name is.
Yeah, it's not like you are friends with them outside the dog park.
Not usually. I mean, occasionally you will make that leap. But for the most part, you've got this interesting mixture of intimacy and anonymity, which is very liberating. I've heard people's life stories and talked with them about death and parenting, and I don't even know their last names. And yet, you know, we've shared so much information with each other. It's kind of nice.
Well, you've given them some names, according to a recent column for Parade magazine. The six types of owners that you met at the dog park. So let's get to know them. Toyous possessiveness, or no, I'm sorry, what is that?
Yes. Toyous possessiveness or something.
Yeah.
It's the person who comes to the dog park with, like, great toys for their dog, and then gets upset when other dogs start playing with said toys. When you come to the dog park and bring toys, you kind of have to let go of them. You just have to let the dogs do what they will. you have the right to leave with your toy, but while you're there, the toy is going to be in play. And, you know, there are always people who are trying to, you know, come up to you and say, can you get my toy from your dog?
Do you say no?
I say, well, I do it because, you know, I think we all want to be good citizens, right? But I roll my eyes a little bit.
That is funny. And is Toby's favorite toy a tennis ball?
Well, he'll take what he can get, that way. And, you know, and before, and you're have been a dog owner, so you know, before I got Toby, I read all the books, you know, because I wanted to be a responsible owner for my first dog. And they all seem to emphasize the fact that, you know, remember, dogs are different from people, and they, you know, they have a different language. And but really, dogs are like people in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And in one way in particular, which is they always want what the other dog has,
right?
So, you know, you kind of have to just realize that when you bring a toy to the park or anything, you know, other dogs are going to want it even more.
Let's meet some of the other people or types of owners that you met at the dog park. I like this one, Pupus ignorica. I think that's self-explanatory, but
yes.
Really, I mean, that's the rule, isn't it? But these people will just pretend they didn't see it.
What is that? I mean, I can't understand how anyone would be able to rationalize just leaving a dog's poop. On the sidewalk, definitely, but at a park, wow, you know, people are going to be running around. And, you know, one thing I've learned in my, you know, anthropological experience in the park is that people who pick up their poops are the ones who end up stepping in other people. You know, it's never the people who leave, who just ignore their dog's poops who end up stepping in it, right?
Yeah, I guess that's another lesson. Life is unfair.
Exactly.
Then there is, and I think I probably would fall into this category a little bit, worry too muchus. And I don't have a small dog, but I guess I would always be afraid, oh, is that dog going to start a fight or something?
Yeah, no, I mean, and look, it's a jokey piece for Parade, but the fact is, you know, you do need to be defensive. You can't assume that everyone else is going to be, you know, taking care of your dog. You know, some people who have aggressive dogs just aren't willing to kind of own responsibility. So you do need to sort of worry a little bit. But there are people who come and their dog is clearly having a wonderful time and playing and wrestling, but they're just on edge. They can't relax. They can't share the joy because they're so afraid, you know, that it's violent. They can't quite intuit that line between, you know, slightly rough play and aggression.
Yeah, and yes, and on the opposite of the worry too much is the worry not enoughus.
Right, exactly.
And the one that will, allow the rough play and not really be paying attention. Trita Fountainous, who's that?
And I'm guilty of this myself. People show up at the park with treats, and you know, it's an important training tool, and it helps you with commands. But sometimes they start just giving out treats constantly for nothing, and the dogs basically stop playing and rush over to the fountain of treats. You know, it's like a giant Pez dispenser, and. So these wonderful giving people often end up kind of spoiling the energy a little bit. So I was just having a fun poke at them.
Yeah, and I think we've all run into someone like this before, even if it's not at the dog park. It's the know-it-all-inians.
Right.
Yeah, the experts who give you advice on how to train your dog.
Exactly. I mean, I have found myself in this doing this and being that person on occasion, you know, where you go up to someone who may not be training their dog the way that you trained your dog. So So, you know, of course you try to advise them, and, you know, you think you know so much, and really all you know is that you have a dog.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We are talking with Matthew Gilbert. He is a TV critic at the Boston Globe and author of Off the Leash, A Year at the Dog Park. We're talking about how his life changed when a yellow lab named Toby came into his life, and that pulled him into dog park culture. And we're talking about that, what he learned. What did you learn from the dog park? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Any stories that you might have about the people or the dogs that you meet at the dog park, of the types of dog owners that we just talked about with those tongue-in-cheek names? Which one are you? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Do you take your dog to a dog park? Our guest this hour wrote about his experiences with dog park culture in his new book, Off the Leash. And we'll wonder if you have any questions for him or any experiences that you would like to share. Maybe you've learned something about yourself or human behavior by taking your dog to a dog park. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, let's take some calls. We have Barb in Superior with us. Hello, Barb.
Oh, hello. See, what a fun show. I do take my dog. She's a rescue dog. She's 8 years old now. I take her to a dog park in Duluth, Minnesota. We don't have one in Superior. And it is so delightful to take her there. The time slips by. I can be there for an hour without realizing it. And also, we tend to know the names of the dogs and not the people. I have no idea. And you know, watching these dogs, you have different types of dogs. You have the runner dogs and the dogs who just stay near the owners, or the, you know, they sniff the ground. And one time we had a, you know, group of running dogs, and a beagle happened to be at the park, and that beagle was chasing the whole group of dogs and bailing like crazy. It was just so hilarious. And also, I think taking a dog to a dog park can be quite therapeutic. I had a family member who is going through a progressive illness, and I found taking my dog to the dog park gave me and the dog so much joy and was a total distraction. Just a wonderful idea. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Barb, for sharing that. Do you agree? Therapeutic, Matthew?
Oh, my God. I love that call. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Barb. Yeah, totally therapeutic. It's the, you know, watching the description she gave of the dogs just running and the beagle barking, and, you know, it's like choreography. It's like the choreography of joy. It's such a wonderful sight, and it's infectious. You get a contact high. You know, you're just among all of this spontaneity, and you can't help but kind of feel it yourself. And as she said, it's a great refuge. For me, it's a refuge from, you know, my 30 hours of television a week and my computer screen. But, for, you know, sometimes it can be a refuge from something that's even more painful, like an illness or loss. So I love that call.
I did too. And I had a laugh with knowing the dog's names, but not the name of the owner of the dog. Because, I mean, that happens to me on neighborhood dog walks and other things, too. You know the dog, but not the person.
Absolutely. And then you reach the point where you realize you can't ask the name because,
yeah,
you know.
I've only known you for a year, or at least seen you
right.
here for a year.
Right. Last week you were telling me about, you know, depression, and now I have to ask you your name?
But you did. You knew some of the first names, but not. You know, you didn't know anything else about them.
No.
Yeah. Let's take another call from Melissa in La Crosse. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I want to comment on the last one, too, that it's very therapeutic to go there and not really know anybody, especially in the job that I have of kind of being a social worker and dealing with a lot of things during my day, and get there and be able just to talk about dogs and not anything else has been really helpful. But I just started taking my dog there. I got a rescue back in February, and where I'm kind of able now to let her go and run around. I was that worry person a lot. But we've gone there, and there's been a German shepherd there that kind of herds a bunch of dogs, and my dog is now petrified of it. And I just had a comment of, like, asking and talking to the owners that kind of do that, because the poor guy that has a German shepherd, I mean, he looks like he really doesn't know that his dog is kind of hurting the dogs, and some owners have talked about not liking that dog there. And it's a nice dog. You could tell he's just hurting him. He's not really attacking. But I went there the other day, and he had showed up, and pretty much everyone just left the park.
Aww.
And I felt bad for the dog and the owner, and then my dog just went underneath. There's a bunch of picnic tables at the one we go to, like, hit under there and didn't want to come out.
Mm.
So just a question of how to, and I'm just kind of new to it, and how to talk to.
Now you have to be the know-it-allist, Matthew, and give some advice.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had a similar situation at our park, and I bet it's pretty universal at dog parks. You know, a woman who had two dogs would come, and they made the other people uncomfortable. And the bottom line is, you need to respect that. This, I would say, you know, in my opinion, the owner of the German Shepherd needs to be responsive to other people's concerns. That doesn't mean he needs to, you know, remove his dog. It just means he needs to monitor his dog closely. If he senses that the play or the herding is starting to annoy other people, he should intervene and, you know, control it. I really think that people need to try to get along. At our park, ultimately, we kind of, the victims of this person, basically we kind of approached her together and just said, can we do something, you know, where you can stay, but we can relax. And, you know, we just tried to do it that way. But the solution is not for everybody to leave. That's not right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Melissa,
yeah.
what's your dog's name?
Allie.
Allie. And, well, I hope your next trip to the dog park, maybe German Shepherd's owner won't be there either, but yeah, good luck.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the call.
I mean, people need to be just good, compassionate human beings at the dog park and respect other people's concerns,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I do too. We are talking about the dog park. We're talking about what we learn from our dogs at the dog park. We're talking about what we learn from other people at the dog park, and we are welcoming your experiences, your questions. We are talking with a guest who didn't go to the dog park until he adopted later in life a dog, Toby, a yellow lab, and how this changed his life. He is the author of Off the Leash, A Year at the Dog Park. Matthew Gilbert is also a TV critic at the Boston Globe. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, we're talking a lot about how this helped you and helped change your perspective, Matthew, and how it can help people. What did Toby learn from his dog park experiences?
Yeah, I mean, it's really wonderful to see your dog kind of, you know, bloom among his people. You know, he learned how to play. He learned to be assertive, but not to be aggressive. You know, every once in a while, when he was a puppy, I could see an older dog kind of correct him. You know, and it's just wonderful to see your dog's personality emerge. One of my favorite stories that I put in the book is about a dog a rescue dog that was incredibly skittish, and not so much with the other dogs as with the people. And over the course of 6 or 8 months, all of the dog owners just really worked at trying to make this, help this dog relax. And I mean, this is a dog who wouldn't, who would not take a cookie from your hand. You know, even though she seriously wanted it. And so, you know, how lovely to eventually see her be willing to approach a person and take a cookie, and then allow that person to pet her. So, you know, it's great to watch people go off the leash, but it's also really fun and fascinating to watch dogs learn about themselves and find their own identities and maybe let go of some of their fears.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at photos of dog park shenanigans and dogs playing at dog parks. Sometimes when you see their face when they are, that's where you get the title, by the way, off the leash is, that's because you can have your dog off the leash at a dog park.
Right, exactly. And also, I think the owners go off the leash too, off their leashes too.
Right, right. Because we are sort of confined in many ways. And we'll talk more about how you went off your leash as we go along. But let's, in terms of what I was saying, the stories of the photos, sometimes the dogs look as though, you know, their teeth are bared and they're, you know, they're bumping into each other. They're, you know, colliding in midair. But I think they're playing. Yes?
I think that when you are at a park watching play, you have a strong sense of whether or not the play is devolving into something more like aggression. You know, I just think it's pretty clear when you're in the presence of those dogs. But it's always best to err on the safe side if you feel the play is looking a little bit too intense.
And
but yeah.
You do write about a violent incident between Toby and another dog. What happened there?
Yeah. Well, it was a woman with two dogs, and she just... she had one dog, and the dog had aggression issues, so her solution was to get a second dog. She thought maybe that would somehow help, and of course it didn't. So then she had two aggressive dogs. And I was just standing talking with some stranger at the park, and suddenly, you know, this dog, this whippet, was all over Toby. And, oh, my God, it was just, you know, it's just a horrible, horrible moment. And, you know, fortunately he was not really hurt. You know, I responded quickly, as did a number of the other people who were watching from, you know, a few feet away, and, everything was safe ultimately. But, yeah, so, you know, it looks, when you look at photos of dogs at a dog park, they may look like they're, you know, being rough and baring their teeth. Sometimes that's play and sometimes it's not. And you need to kind of really scrutinize the play and make sure that, you know, we're still on the safe side here.
So did you feel safe taking Toby back to the park after that?
That was one of the wonderful transformative moments for me, because I realized that while I was pulling Toby away from this dog and kind of coping with the attack, all of these other people had come around and were pulling the aggressive dog away and checking Toby to make sure he was okay and checking me to make sure I was okay. And it was a lovely moment where I realized that the dog park community really... When it really counts, will protect its most vulnerable members, and that was just a lovely message, you know. And a couple of people after that attack said to me, "You better come back. We don't want to see you run away."
Oh.
You know, and that's just lovely.
Yeah, John in Schofield is with us. Hello, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm really enjoying the program, but I go to the dog park usually twice a day. And the first lady that called, I think she was talking about my beagle because that's exactly what he does. And it's just, I think everybody should have a dog. It gives you a better outlook on life. And he's very right that you know the dog's names, but I know very few people's names. So I'm just wanted to say that I'm really enjoying the program.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
I understand. He's also, John, you're not fessing up that you're the guy that has the treats all the time.
Well, that's true, I am. And the other thing I want to say, my dog is a rescue, too, and I'm very glad to see that people have called have been rescue dogs. And mine came from a shelter in Kentucky, and all the way up to Wisconsin, and so far he's heading into his third winter. He's done okay, but I really enjoyed the program.
Thank you, John. We enjoyed your call. And everybody should have a dog. Matthew, do you agree now?
Oh, I will never be without a dog in my life. It's just, you know, it's like John said, it's just changes your days, you know. This dog makes me laugh every single day. He does something funny with, you know. I just think dogs are a great way to be in the moment of your life. They give you perspective. They offer so many things, and different things to different people depending on what that person needs.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, one of the lessons that I get from Toby all the time is don't waste your energy on drama. You know, he's so calm about everything. I mean, he's playful, but he's also, as he's gotten older, just so calm. And, you know, he's my little role model. I want to be resilient and calm and, you know, not get stressed out about things that really, in the long run, don't merit it.
Yeah,
so
I agree. And then and not only, especially when they're getting older, they're mellow out a little bit. But they, boy, at least my dogs have been. Still, you know, love the treat, love the toy. Still have such joy and bring us such laughter. But they truly seem like they are enjoying the moment.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And I think, you know, as John was talking about rescue dogs, I think a lot of rescue dogs arrive with difficult backstories, and you know they may have aggression or fear issues. And I think the dog park is a great place to work that out with your dog. That can bring you closer together, you know, to bring your rescue to the dog park, keep him or her on a leash, and just feel your way into a more safe position.
We are talking with Matthew Gilbert. He is a TV critic at the Boston Globe and also author of Off the Leash, A Year at the Dog Park, in which he talks about what he learned at the dog park with his dog, Toby, a yellow lab, and how it's changed his life, changed his perspective, the lessons that he learned. We welcome your questions. We welcome the lessons you may have learned at the dog park. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you have any stories that you can tell us about the people and the dogs that you have met at your local dog park? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about dog parks with our guest, Matthew Gilbert, who is the author of Off the Leash, A Year at the Dog Park. We welcome your questions, and we'd love to hear your experiences at the dog park, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, let's talk a little bit more, as more calls are coming in, about how dog parks let humans off the leash, too, Matthew.
For me, it's just been a wonderful sort of letting go of, as I said, the digital leash, which is so important. We all really, need to to kind of spend a little bit of time not connected to one screen or another. But then also just, being among people in that environment, you get away from worries. You get away from your life for an hour or so, and you focus on your dog, and you focus on the dog play, and you have conversation with people, and it's just a great opportunity. And we all should have something like that. It doesn't have to be the dog park. I have friends who are musicians, and for them, that's going off the leash. You know, they go and they play music, and they don't look at their screens, and they're in the moment, and that's their version of the dog park.
Yeah. Let's go to Jerry in Fitchburg. Hello, Jerry.
Hi. I was listening to the comments about dog park community, and I have a little rescue dog, a rat terrier named Abby, and we've been going to the same dog park for 5 years now, and it's a beautiful dog park. It's well over 80 acres with woods and fields, and the people I've met there, we both made a lot of friends during the time that we've been there, and there have been some instances of aggressive dogs, and you're right, people just really support everyone when anything happens. We had an incident a week ago of, believe it or not, a yellow lab attacking a Great Dane.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, the Great Dane lost, but because they're not very aggressive. But everybody was throwing water on the dogs and trying to get them separated. And then all the concern was about is the Great Dane hurt? And he looked more traumatized than anything. But it's true. There's just such a wonderful community at the dog park. And I always meet people I can stop and talk with, and my dog has her own particular friends she can play with.
Oh, who are her best friends, Jerry?
Well, one of her best friends was a Doberman named Sadie. Now, my dog weighs 15 pounds, and Sadie probably weighed 80. But they just loved each other. They'd bite each other on the butt and play chase and just have a wonderful time together. And then Sadie moved away, unfortunately. Oh. She's now in San Diego. I guess she's going to the beach every day.
So,
but
Jerry,
my dog only gravitates to big dogs. Dogs her size are not even on her radar.
Well, she thinks she's a big dog. That's probably.
Well, I guess. Yeah. Well, she acts like she's indestructible.
Right. I understand, Jerry, you're on your way to the dog park right now.
Yeah, we're just getting ready to turn into the driveway.
We should get a live report from...
I love it.
That is great. Well, go ahead, Matthew.
Oh, well, Jerry, I was going to ask you, when the Great Dane and the lab tangled, how was the lab's owner?
She was very shaken.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to cause the fight, because it seemed to happen so fast. But the Great Dane acted like he was just trying to defend himself.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the woman didn't act like she had been there before.
Yeah.
Which you can tell with some dog owners, when a fight happens, you can tell, this is another instance.
Right.
But, no, she was very, very shaken. I don't know if she'd ever seen her dog act like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, Matthew, what is the reaction in your experience?
Well, it's what Jerry
banging
away. Some people, you can just see it on their face. It's happened before, and it's probably going to happen again. Other people are very shaken and concerned about not only their dog, but the other dog. And I think those people are better citizens in a way. You know, they're I mean, they should be concerned for the more victimized dog and that person, that dog's owner. And they should be offering to pay or split bills. You know, they should be solicitous.
Yeah, and that dog park sounds like quite the nice place. 80 acres with woods and fields and meadows and all that. I mean, we don't skimp on our dog parks either, Matthew.
My dog park, it's actually just 8 acres.
Yours is 8, but he said his was 80.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very deluxe.
Does your dog, Toby, have best friends at the dog park?
You know, he's funny, and I bet a lot of dog owners will recognize this. One day, he is just completely best friends forever with, you know, some dog or another. And the next day, it's as if they don't know each other. And then 2 weeks later, once again, they're wrestling and playing. It's very comic to me how that happens. But there was one dog named Rosie who was Toby's sort of older sister figure, a golden retriever, just a lovely, slightly older golden retriever, and she is gone now.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Let's go to some more calls. Is it Martine in Spring Green?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
We had a rescue dog. We got him when he was 4 years old. His name was George, and he was a shepherd collie, and he was a beautiful dog. And he had his ear pierced by another dog at the dog park. He had his cruciate ligament blown out at the dog park. And he just loved going there because he would take off on us if it wasn't fenced in. So when he died, which was this past winter, we brought his ashes to the dog park. And there was other dogs there. And interestingly enough, I thought they would come over and, like, roll in the ashes, but they were very respectful. They stayed their distance. They let us have our little ceremony, and it was really nice. It was a nice ending to a wonderful dog who gave everything he could. So we really enjoyed him, and we love the dog park. We now have a rescue puppy that we have taken there. And she likes the dog park also, although we're going to have to wait until we get her spayed. So before she goes back, because there could be other puppies, and we don't want that.
So. Martine, that was such a touching story. Thank you so much for sharing it. And good luck with your new puppy. What is her name?
Faith.
Say it again.
Faith.
Well,
her name is Faith.
That's wonderful.
George came with the name from his owners, and Faith came with the name from the rescue center, so we kept those names. So,
yeah. I did the same thing. Thank you so much, Martine. How touching was that, Matthew?
Oh boy, I love that. I mean, I've heard so many times people saying, you know, when their dog passed away, the dog park people just were there for them. You know, a lot of times I have never experienced it. I mean, Toby is my first dog, but. Mm-hmm. When I've seen friends lose dogs, they often say to me, you know, the people in their lives often don't kind of understand what the loss of a dog is like, but the people at the dog park always do, and they know exactly how to console a person.
Yeah. Well, going from very, you know, consoling to the story about... Martine says they have to get their puppy spayed in before they can take her back to the dog park. I mean, that kind of behavior can happen now and again, right?
Oh, indeed. Mm-hmm. I've been on, you know, I mean, Toby has been on both sides of that in terms of when he was a puppy, he often got humped.
Yes. That's sort of a show of dominance, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and you have to kind of realize this is not sexual. This is, you know, hierarchy play. But then later, when he got a little older, he started doing it. And it's funny, some owners get very upset about it. And others understand that it really isn't sexual and that it's just dogs being dogs. But if somebody comes to the park with a dog that is in heat or approaching it or coming out of it, it can really cause problems, you know, because all the male dogs are probably going to just become obsessed. And so it's always good. I'm surprised that a rescue dog, that she got a rescue dog that wasn't spayed already.
Right.
Although maybe it was such a puppy.
Or from just a yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I know that you also talked a little bit of, in the book about how dog owners and their pets have compatible personalities and energies. Want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it often goes one of two ways. You know, one way is that the dog and the owner have a lot in common. Sometimes they even look alike, you know, but their temperaments are similar. And sometimes, as in my case, the dog and the owner are different in significant ways. And you know, in my case, it was a man who really didn't understand how to play, owning a dog who was all about play. You know, and I think that's just the poetic justice of dog ownership. You know, you get a dog that somehow either keeps you company because it's like you or challenges you in ways that maybe you need to be challenged. And just in watching dogs and their owners at the park, I see a lot of variations of that, and it's kind of lovely and entertaining.
Yeah. So is the dog park life something you'd recommend for all dog owners?
Yeah, I mean, I think trying it is definitely something all dog owners should do. You know, see if you like it, see if your dog likes it, more importantly. And, and don't run scared because the first experience there was not ideal. I mean, sometimes you need to try it a few times and adjust your attitude, adjust your, you know, maybe keep your dog on the leash for a few times before you let him off the leash. I think dog owners really should try it.
What is the takeaway? What do you hope readers take away from your book?
I just hope that readers understand that as I said earlier, you know, you can change when you're older. You can still grow. You know, I hope that my transformation indicates that. And also just that we all need some kind of community. We all need to play. We all need, you know, our own version of the dog park, a place where we can go off leash.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, Joy, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Matthew Gilbert, a TV critic at the Boston Globe, author of Off the Leash, A Year at the Dog Park. Thanks very much to Cynthia Schuster and to Christy Taylor and to Justin Williams for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There is much more to come. On Point is coming up next with the latest on Ferguson. Tomorrow, at this time, we're going to talk about birding and how birding can make the world a better place. That's coming up tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.